Higher interest rates are starting to knock the wind out of the housing market. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Demand for mortgages in the U.S. fell more than 6% last week. Applications for mortgages are now 19% lower than they were a year ago, bringing demand to its lowest point in 22 years. This is according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. This is all, of course, because of rising interest rates. The Federal Reserve has been raising rates to lower demand in the economy and ultimately fight inflation. Housing is particularly sensitive to interest rates, as you might imagine. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities with Exchange Capital Resources and joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
So a 22-year low in demand for mortgages, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It is important to note that interest rates are going up, and when that happens, it impacts the economy. And a big way that that impact happens is through housing. The mortgages get more expensive. So we're seeing that as interest rates have risen, we're seeing the customer back off from thinking about that new home purchase. And that's really trickling through, generating this extreme number that you saw today.
Does falling demand, as we're seeing, for mortgages for homes mean that the Federal Reserve's raising of interest rates is starting to have an effect on inflation?
Increased interest rates are certainly having an effect on the desire to take on a mortgage. And so we're seeing that. The Fed is worried about inflation. Housing is just one component of that. I do think that this is a sign that increased interest rates are putting a dampener on the economy, and that is what the Fed is trying to do.
Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Exchange Capital Resources, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Europe is drawing up a plan for how countries can make sure they have enough energy in the event Russia cuts off the flow of natural gas. This morning, the European Commission asked its member states to start rationing natural gas, cutting usage by 15% in the coming months. The goal here is that if Russia cuts supply, it won't disrupt factories or keep people from heating their homes in the winter. Here's Commission President Ursula von der Leyen.
Russia is blackmailing us. Russia is using energy as a weapon. And therefore, in any event, whether it's a partial major cutoff of Russian gas or a total cutoff of Russian gas, Europe needs to be ready.
The European Commission has also asked for the power to make energy cuts mandatory if there's a severe shortage of natural gas at some point. Meanwhile, Russian President Vladimir Putin says his country will fulfill its commitments to supplying Europe with natural gas, with the caveat that the flow of gas could slow or stop if sanctions interfere with upkeep of the pipelines. Tomorrow, the European Central Bank will raise interest rates for the first time in 11 years. The idea there, as it is here and in many other places around the world, as we have talked about, is to fight inflation, which is running at an annual rate of 8.6% in the Eurozone. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, is in Athens, Greece, looking into the impact of this decision. She joins me now. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning, Sabri.
So one question is the ECB's meeting in Frankfurt, Germany. Why are you in the Greek capital?
Well, it's a great question. Athens is the epicenter of Europe's last financial crisis. It was just a couple of miles away from where I am now in Syntagma Square, right outside Parliament, that tens of thousands of people came out in protest against austerity measures that the government agreed to as conditions of the country's second bailout program. To answer your ultimate question, why are we here? Well, it's to see how far this country has come in the last decade. We've been asking whether higher interest rates and thus borrowing costs for the government could tip the country or the wider Eurozone back into crisis.
The ECB is raising interest rates to fight inflation in the Eurozone as a whole. But then you have these vulnerable areas like Greece, for whom those rate hikes might cause real pain. So what have you found so far?
Well, yeah, in many ways, the economy is better off. Governments here have implemented necessary reforms. But as you point out, there is still a way to go. Greece still has a very high debt load, 200% of GDP, in fact. It's the highest in the eurozone. Unemployment here is above 12%. And although it has boosted its savings and is expected to post economic growth of about 3% this year, there are factors beyond the government's control that could cause big problems for the economy here. So here's Miranda Zaffa. She is a former Greek representative to the International Monetary Fund, and she now has her own financial consultancy here in Athens.
If the war in Ukraine continues for a long time, if the pressures in the energy market continue for a long time, then there is a risk that monetary tightening combined with global risk aversion might cause Greece's borrowing costs to go up much more, and it would rekindle concerns about debt sustainability in Greece.
You are also speaking with people who lived through the last economic crisis there, who experienced that, yeah?
Yeah, and so we'll hear from a lot of them, some young people who participated in those protests in Syntagma Square, to find out whether life has gotten better or worse for young people here in Greece. And of course, we'll hear more from Miranda in the next couple of days.
All right, my Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Sabri.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.